Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 293. My name is Turner Sparks.
I'm Mike Kaplanino.
Look at that. What was that?
Is anybody doing Brazil? Like Ronaldinho? I was trying to think of what they say in Brazil. So trying to go on theme.
Is that Portuguese?
Yes. I met Pele once, and that's how he told me to pronounce my name.
Oh, so wow. Name dropping immediately.
Name dropping at the start. That's how I recover.
Met Pele. Good. We're talking Brazil today, Kaplan. You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. I put new stand-up comedy clips out all the time. Find Kaplan at Cap'n America on all social media platforms. And this show, follow us at Lost in America Pod on Instagram. We also put clips from this show up there so you can like them and share them to your... What do you share them to? Story. Instagram. That's what everyone's doing.
Help our engagement. Share them. Even if you don't like them, share them.
Yeah, even if you hate them. And I don't know if we're going to do TikTok. I tried. People hate me on TikTok. I don't think TikTok's our audience, Kaplan.
It's not our people. No,
it's a lot of bots.
It's too polarizing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a real polarizing figure on TikTok. So we might skip that. But we are on Instagram. I think our crowd's more of an Instagram. We're more like the middle-aged people with kids. You know, that's
we're like
our
a
crowd.
MySpace crowd, really. But
we're the MySpace crowd. We're not these
but
young.
We'll go with Instagram. Yeah,
18-year-olds. Everything we put up on TikTok, they say we're problematic. So I think we're just gonna have to skip that.
Kaplan, we'll do the next thing
on the show today. Coming up in just a minute, we have Brazilian comedian Victor Kameja. I don't know if I'm pronouncing correctly. We'll find out in a minute. But Cap, we're talking about Brazil just had their own insurrection. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's right. It's always good when we export one of the American TV shows, like The Office. Well, that was English, but you know, American Idol. All these shows that we start here that goes to other countries. So we had an insurrection. Boom. Now, Brazil, we'll see
Kaplan,
who else is doing
both
it.
Of the examples you picked are British. Whoops. Pop Idol was originally British. With the British guy. What's his name? You know, the Simon Cowell. And then they brought it to America. But I think we know what you're saying. Yeah. Yes. Seinfeld. They must. Everybody loves Raymond. They did that one in Russia.
Everyone loves him.
They did. Yeah. Anyway, point is, we're going to be talking to him in just a minute. They had their own insurrection a couple days ago. So congratulations to them or whatever. And but before that, Cap, gigantic announcement right now. Our TV show that we've been talking, our TV pilot we've been talking about for, I don't know, almost 6 months, 8 months now. We went to El Salvador in July of 2022 to hang out with the comedians there, put on a stand-up comedy show, and find out what it's like to live in a country where Bitcoin is your currency. And we're finally done with it. We've completed the pilot. We're submitting it to, let's not be specific, but to comedy festivals around the United States of America.
Yeah.
We have meetings coming up about, and we're going to start pitching it soon to networks and all that kind of stuff. But we're also going to be showing it exclusively to you, our Patreon subscriber. So we're talking to you, Tug. We're talking to you, Dennis Owens, Drew Fralick.
Robin Chambers.
Who else? Robin Chambers.
We got my mom, Jan Kaplan.
Now sure. You can see my dad, Gary Spark. All the other patrons go, Sugar Brady. I'm sorry we forgot you, Sugar. Will Prechuck, the whole gang. We're going to be screening it exclusively to you online. And then Cap and I will hang out and we'll do a Q&A afterwards about the episode. So the first one is going to be February 16th, this year, 2023. The second one is going to be March 2nd. So what you want to do is get in. This is to all of our Patreon subscribers, but only our Patreon subscribers.
Yes.
So your brother, Jeff Kaplan. Freeloading. Jeff Kaplan, no, can't watch.
Nope, can't watch. I'm not showing it to him.
My brother, Tyler Sparks, can't watch. No. His son, Ben Sparks, he's a Patreon subscriber.
Yeah, so now if you've been a freeloader, if you've enjoyed this Lost in America podcast but have not been supporting us on Patreon, we hate you, but we'll forgive you if you sign up now. Now's your chance to get in. It's the best time to buy. That's what they say.
Think if this is converting to Christianity on your deathbed. Like,
yes,
we'll forgive all your sins. You can still get in. There's still time.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't seem fair to everybody else, to Tug and to Sugar Brady.
You lived your whole life the right way, Tug, you know, but you're going to go to a better version of heaven.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. And that should be enough. A life well lived is enough. But for everybody else, we'll let you in. So all you have to do, you have to get in before February 16th, because that's the date. That's the first date. And we're going to be showing it. And we might have some special guests on there. Maybe we'll have some people from El Salvador who are in the episode. Maybe we'll have a director or something, you know, but listen, it's enough. It's us. So anyway, patreon.com/lostinamerica. The link to that will be in the liner notes of this episode, patreon.com/lostinamerica. $5 is all it takes. All right, Cap, let's move on to this episode.
Yes.
What do you know about what's going on? What do you know about what's going on in Brazil?
Well, first I want to pat ourselves on the back, because we did an episode about their recent election where Lula defeated Bolsonaro. And we said, is there going to be a January 6th coming up? Because he was so similar to Trump in many ways, Bolsonaro. And we predicted it. I think we both thought it was going to happen. And now it happened. They waited until the only difference is, in my opinion, is they waited. The Brazilians who rioted, who protested, waited till after Lula got into office. So they seem to have nothing to like in our situation. It was very unlikely, but there was this crazy theory that Mike Pence could like somehow save the day, and he could come in. He could be convinced to make Donald Trump president to change the elect. You know, before Joe Biden was inaugurated, and he could do the whole thing. There was no theory here of that. The guy Lula was already president. The jig was already up, and these people still just went in there and said, "We're just going to riot and demand a recount." Well,
the other part to that is, as far as I understand, no one was in the building. So
yeah, exactly. There was no like Nancy Pelosi hiding under a table when there was none of that.
There wasn't even the excitement of somebody might get killed today.
There was no potential lynching of a congressperson.
Yeah. So if you want ratings, Brazil, you're going to have to do it when people are in the building. If you want the world.
Yeah, you need like a 911 call from a scared congressperson who's like, these may do something about it.
Yes. You
know, like they really screwed that up. So, and also my other question that I heard from somebody was that, you know, that Lula took over January 1st. That's how the Brazilian system works. And the people didn't want to protest on December 31st before he took over because it's New Year's Eve, which I respect. They didn't want to mess up New Year's Eve plans. And then they couldn't protest New Year's Day when he was actually taking over because they were hungover.
That makes sense.
They needed like several days to recover.
I mean, you have all those college football bowl games on January 1st.
Yes, they're watching the Rose Bowl at the second this year.
They're not going to miss that. And before that, it was World Cup, so we're not even thinking about it yet. We're saying, let's all wait.
When Pele passed, they were mourning. Yeah, so
there was just too much going on. We're so excited to have this comedian joining us for the very first time, everybody. He's performed on Comedy Central in Brazil. He has a show, which I want to ask him about, in English. It's on YouTube. In English, it's called something like Home News, and it's this daily, irregular it's almost like The Daily Show, but from his own house. And he tours all Brazil doing comedy. Victor Kameha. And please correct me if I pronounce your last name incorrectly.
First order
Welcome
business.
To the show. How did we do on the synopsis, on the recap
and the pronunciations
of your events?
Hi, guys. Hi to everybody. Okay. You did really good. Congratulations. Hey! You're good. You're Applause. Really good.
We're getting better. My name
is a real big problem because nobody can say it right, even in Brazil. But it's Camejo. It's with an O at the end.
Oh, but Camejo. is it spelled with an A or no?
No, it's not.
Spelled with an O.
Yeah. C-A-M-E-J-O. Camejo.
M-E-J-O. That's my fault. I wrote that down.
Okay. No,
but you pronounce the J. It's a hard J. It's a J.
Yeah, it's a hard J. Camejo.
Got it, because it's Portuguese.
Yes. Actually, my father is Portuguese. I'm half Brazilian, half Portuguese. And He taught me to speak Portuguese. Look that Brazil also speak Portuguese. So that's like me. And guys, you did pretty good. Actually, you were great because we here in Brazil, we had some doubts that this could really would really take place.
Yeah.
Because we were like, guys, okay, Lula is already it's already president. The inauguration was perfect. No big problems. And the police was doing their jobs and the army was doing their jobs and everything went perfectly fine. And we thought, okay, maybe it's just a bunch of crazy people on WhatsApp and Telegram and on Facebook talking trash, and was nothing we could worry about. And then my mother went on me on the day January 8th, and she said, okay, something is about to go down on Brasilia, that's our capital, because everybody is talking about that on Telegram, on Facebook, on WhatsApp. And all of the guys, she's from church. She's evangelical. So the guys from church are talking about this, and I'm really concerned that something's going on. And I said to her, "No, mom, no, nothing's going on. The inauguration was fine. The inauguration was fine. There is a little bit of negationist denial in every one of us. Right? Yeah. Some people were." Denial in the pandemic, and I denied the coup in Brazil. And I was like, and then she said to me something like, okay, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I will come here again and we will see. And she was right, because we were slowly seeing a lot of people just coming on, and lots and lots of people with yellow and green, the colors of our flags. Yeah. Mostly elderly people.
Elderly, coming. The boomers.
Oh, yeah, the boomers. There is
it was a boomer revolution.
It was a boomer
revolution.
Yes, indeed. Because we have some stats that says that mostly, I think 56% maybe it's between 45 and 55 years old. The boom. It's a boomer revolution, and the people here in Brazil are about to say the unbelievable phrase that grandma is arrested by terrorism for terrorism. Grandma is a terrorist. It's an unbelievable thing, and in some way, I don't know why it took place on a Sunday, in a day that we don't have work in our houses. The House of Representatives and the Senate are closed on Sunday, but they try to invade the official home of the president because here in Brasilia, Brasilia is a made city for the government because the architecture and the three buildings are really close on each other. The House of the President, the Congress, and the Supreme Court. It's like a few steps away. It's really close. So if you got one, you got them all. And Lula was not on the official residence yet. It's not. Because, and that, I think it's a little, little bit of luck because he was on traveling to another city because we have a flood in that city. And he was that with the governor of the state. He was working. Something that Bolsonaro...
working on a Sunday.
Yeah, he was working. He was working on a Sunday. And I think they got wrong because they were so used to the president don't doing anything because of Bolsonaro. And he was... I think they thought that Lula was probably doing nothing as well. And, sure. But he was working and he was not there. And I'm convinced that if Lula was there, he would get killed.
Really?
But would the security have been, security have been different though? If he was there?
Yes. Yeah. And that was the turning point because as soon as we were seeing the guys coming to the riot and come to the insurrection and starting to getting close to the buildings, I started to think, okay, the police and the army are going to intervene. Mm-hmm. And that's the point that I think that we hung by a thread because they didn't came. And some of the police officers actually escorted the terrorists to the building.
Yeah. I saw a video of some police officers just hanging out and kind of chit-chatting with them. And
so
them.
What it happened in America, the police on the news, like the day of the insurrection, they made you believe that the police were just letting everybody in. But then when we watched all the videos later on, it was clear that
they were just outmans.
They were overrun and they were just trying to negotiate, essentially be like, all right, fine. After a bunch of them got killed, they were like, just come in and don't hurt us is what the police were basically saying. But also that was because Trump was still in charge of the country at that point.
Trump was there too, which wasn't the case here. Bolsonaro was
down.
Like Florida,
yeah, he was
right?
down the street. And then, but that at this point, Bolsonaro is not in charge of the country. Lula is. So why didn't Lula send more people to protect the Capitol?
Because there was insubordination by the officers.
The officers agreed with Bolsonaro.
Yeah. Because the Bolsonarismo movement, the Bolsonarism, I don't know if you have a word in English for that, but I don't know if there's a Trumpism word.
Trumpism? I mean, it's like MAGA.
We say MAGA. Yeah.
Which is like make America great again. Yeah,
I know. Here in Brazil, we call Bolsonarismo. It's something like our MAGA. And the Bolsonarismo movement, it's much deeper than just the figures. It's a bigger movement than Bolsonaro, I think. And Bolsonaro is just a symbol. It's just the face of that movement. And it's a movement of bigotry. It's a movement of lying. It's a movement of fascism, in my opinion. And this is a movement that touches a lot of different people in a lot of different levels. And we have the presence of the evangelical churches here in Brazil that are really strong. And we have a lot of police officers that belongs to that religion. And we have this movement got really deep into the army forces, like the army, the navy, and the aeronautica. I don't know how to say that in English. The air part of the army, you know that?
The Air Force.
The Air Force. Okay, thank you very much. The Air Force. And we have the additional security forces, like the polices and the fire departments. And we have those officers very, very much involved in Bolsonarismo. So we have a picture. I can send you guys later that picture of a police officer watching the riot taking place. And the pants of the office was like a little bit up to the leg, like to the middle of the leg. And we could see that this guy were wearing socks with the face of Bolsonaro.
Yeah. Okay. The police officer on his side.
Yeah. And we start to think, and then we discovered just about some minutes later that the security secretary of the federal district was in Florida with Bolsonaro on that day.
Okay.
So was Bolsonaro there for why was he in Florida? Like for plausible deniability or was he just?
Yes.
Like,
yes. Because he was in Florida because he now can say I was not even there.
Yes.
Yeah. I was not even there. It was not my fault. Just the people.
Nothing to do with it. I came to Florida.
Yes.
Vacation.
Yeah.
Grocery shopping.
Yeah, he was trying to defend himself. And I was not even there. I don't know why this happened. And that guy, Anderson Torres, that his name, the secretary of security of the federal district, which is former minister of justice of the Bolsonaro administration. He was there with Bolsonaro on that day.
In Florida.
Yes. He said he was on vacation with his family, but we just knew like minutes later that he was in a meeting with Bolsonaro on the day after.
Yeah.
On the day before the riot. I mean,
is Bolsonaro going to stay in Florida? Like, what's his visa like? Is it a tourist visa or is it like a business visa or is he a U.S. citizen? Does he have dual citizenship?
No, as far as I know, he went in the United States with a diplomatic visa that now is no longer valid.
Okay.
And now the Brazilian government and some representatives of the United States and mostly of the Democratic Party are talking about some extradition to Bolsonaro to send him back to Brazil.
I have an idea. We have a congressman in New York City that's wanted in Brazil. What's his name, Kaplan?
Oh, yes, George Santos.
George Santos.
Have you heard that story down in Brazil?
A lot of people want to talk with this guy here.
This guy's amazing.
What about this idea? We will keep Bolsonaro, but we give you Santos.
Do we make Bolsonaro part of our Congress? Does he take Santos' seat?
He takes a seat. He's now representing the 3rd District of New York.
Nassau County in New York.
Guys, believe me, you don't want Bolsonaro in here.
You'd rather have a guy who lies about literally everything, George Santos.
He claims
I respect
lies
Santos
about
a con
everything
artist.
Too, but
yeah, George Santos he claimed he was the first person in America to get COVID, and they've proven that.
Oh my God.
He claimed he was on a championship volleyball team for a college he didn't even attend.
Yeah. He's amazing. So, and you said your mom found out at church. So are evangelicals, they support Bolsonaro?
Very, very, very much.
I wonder why.
We talked about that.
Why is it? What's the reason?
It's like why in America they like the Republicans. It's the same.
But yes, I still don't know why.
Yes.
Why do they like him in America?
I don't know.
Because here in Brazil.
Yeah, you can't just say it's like
social,
that thing.
It's social. It's culture issues. It's like
it's
a culture.
It's not an answer.
Yeah, it's
right?
culture. It's like culture. Social, you know that show. You know that show, The Righteous Gemstones?
Yes.
On HBO Max?
Yeah.
You have that show. And there is about a family that, a church family, a family of televangelists.
Yeah.
Televangelists that have a big church. And that kind of culture, that kind of evangelical culture, is exported to Brazil. Brazilian gospel movement drinks on that source, on that American source. And we have a lot of thoughts that comes from America, that comes from United States to Brazil. And we have we now use the word, for example, we use the word worship in English.
I'm a Presbyterian. I go to church. Our church doesn't support insurrection or anything, or these politicians. And frankly, you're not supposed to support politicians at all, one way or the other, or else you lose your tax-free status in the United States as a church. But is it, Cab, I think you just touched on it. Is it because of abortion? Like, is Bolsonaro against abortion or something? Or what is he tapping into that?
Or crime rate.
It's a lot of things.
Crime and not
first,
like woke stuff.
But that doesn't have anything to do with church. None of, like... Woke and
I shouldn't. I know it's like a visceral thing. It's not like logical, but it's like right. It's like a reason. Like
yes,
Victor, what are your ideas?
Right. Well, first of all, there is some difference because here in Brazil, the Presbyterian Church had a minister in the government of Bolsonaro. The former education minister was a Presbyterian pastor, and now he is arrested for corruption.
Whoa! I'll look out for him in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, he's arrested. He was arrested. I don't know that he is still in jail, but he was arrested with serious accusations of corruption. And we have here in Brazil, I think, we have a project of power by the pastors. The pastors want... pastors here in Brazil are very, very rich. I don't know what it's like in America, but here is...
Really?
Yeah, no.
Well, the evangelical ones are, they like preach on TV.
The famous ones.
Football stadiums and stuff. Yeah.
And they also don't have to pay for a lot. You never have to pay for a meal if you're, you know, you go to everyone's house, you're the rabbi or the priest.
I mean, kind of.
You get a lot of benefits.
This doesn't make you rich. You get free meals every once in a while.
I watched The Sopranos. The priest was always showing up. He was
Kaplan, can I be the authority here? I went to Catholic high school. I've been going to church my whole life. No, they're not rich. They're not rich. Keep going, Victor.
Okay, here in Brazil, we have a project of power on the churches. We have. And Bolsonaro embraced that project. And there is a footage of Bolsonaro saying in a meeting with a lot of the main pastors here in Brazil that he literally says, I will do anything that you guys want. They say this. You say anything. That phrase, anything. I like something. He was offering the government to the pastors, and the Brazil was walking in a direction of a Christian theocracy, I think.
I see. So it's a voting block that if you talk to these few group of people and get them on your side, they can get all of their people to vote for you.
Yeah. And one of three Brazilians are now evangelical. So there's a lot of people. Wow. It's one third of the country. And we have here in Brazil, like some footage of services around nationwide, some services that they just forgot God and Jesus and the main guys, the guys that matters. And was just talking about Bolsonaro.
The whole service, like on a Sunday service, they never mentioned Jesus.
On the Sunday service, they were like preaching to get votes for Bolsonaro.
That's insane.
Saying that they were saving the country of communism. They were fighting for the little children. They are fighting for the family, children. That Lula is going to destroy the family, to close down churches, to implement the communism.
Yeah.
Which personally I don't think is that bad. But
so did they ever ask Bolsonaro like anything about Christianity? Because I remember they asked Trump, what's your favorite Bible verse? And he said, I like all of them.
No, they don't even bother.
He's never looked at a Bible in his life.
They don't even bother. And Bolsonaro is baptized he was baptized on the Jordan River in Israel, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, to make that scene, to make that picture that now he's Christian.
And now I'm kind of in and
out. Oh, wait, he was baptized as an adult, not as a baby?
Yes, no, as an adult, as an adult. As an adult, like in a
that's when you get dunked underwater. That the baptism.
So you got
someone dunks him under.
It depends on your religion. Sometimes they just like sprinkle water on your head. In mine,
I think the Presbyterian Church just sprinkle water on the baby.
Yeah, there's right? no because, big dunking scene.
Calvinists, okay. Calvinists, here in Brazil we have like that baptism that you make a dunk on the water with a person.
Big splat cannonball. Right?
Yeah. But Bolsonaro, despite all that, despite the baptism on an evangelical ceremony, that he still declares himself as a Catholic. So he plays on both teams, and nobody knows exactly what religion he is in, and nobody seems to care either.
I get where George Santos gets it from.
Yeah,
the Brazilian Santos says he's Jewish and Catholic. Yeah. Yeah.
No, so here in Brazil, I used to work as a translator when I was a little younger, when I was a teenager, to some missionaries from Alabama.
Okay,
On my state, I was born in a state in the middle of the Amazon. My state is on the Amazon region, and a lot of missionaries from the United States used to go there to preach. To spread the gospel, and I used to work as a translator for them, and I had a lot of difficulty to explain to them a figure that we have, I think, only in Brazil, that they say they are non-practical Catholics, something like that. Some that you say you are Catholic, but you don't live the life of a Catholic. You know what I mean? You just it's like you're saying that you're Jew, but you don't do anything.
Yeah, I was going to say that's common with like, Jewish people, because you say I'm Jewish by like, I was born Jewish, but I don't practice Judaism.
Yes, right? Yes, we have this.
That's
here
why I don't eat bacon.
Catholics.
So you can't say that about me.
You say that with Catholic people. What? Say that with Catholic. Interesting. So yeah. What was? We haven't gotten a real answer on this. We've asked in the past, but it seems like from what you read, that a lot of this Bolsonaro stuff, well, him as a public figure, started with this car wash scandal.
Yeah.
And it was this idea that a lot of people in the government were shown to be corrupt. And by chance, he was not one of them. And so just because of the fact that he was not one of the corrupt people, he got elevated. He was already in the government. He had been in the government for like 30 years, but he was low level government.
Yes.
And that kind of elevated him to the top. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, that's right. And Bolsonaro is a form of denial of the politics. The people got angry about politicians and got angry about, very frustrated, because the Workers' Party, the PT, that is the party that Lula is from, was supposed to be that answer, the justice, the social justice answer that the Brazilian people was looking for. But the car wash operation was like a mix of class hate, of the media trying to put the government down. The opposition went going with a lot of force on the government. It was a mix of all that. And Bolsonaro was the face that was like that catched the attention of the public on that. Anger. And
even though he had been in the government for 30 years.
Yes.
He was an outsider. He was
an outsider.
So he saw himself as an outsider. Or the people saw him.
Yeah. And then people started to think, okay, maybe that's the answer that we need. We need a guy from outside, a guy with a different perspective, a guy less tolerant with crime. Mm-hmm. And then they voted for Bolsonaro. But at the very first beginning, the progressive side, the left side of the public here in Brazil, we saw from the day one who Bolsonaro was. He is a supporter of the military dictatorship here in Brazil. He talked about torture. He talked about coup in years past. So we knew nothing that's going on. It's something new to us. Nothing is something we can proudly say, we told you so.
Yeah.
To everybody, to everything that happened. So, but the churches went on full support to him. The conservatives went full support on him. The fascists went full support on him. And it was very, very, very hard to beat him, because Lula is the most influential politics in the West, in my opinion. I second to Mandela, I think, in South Africa. But he has a history of like redemption, because he was arrested in the car wash operation,
right,
with accusations of corruption.
He
spent two years in jail, I think. And he always said that the judge was partial. It was with like in a plan with the prosecutor to get him in jail. And we have a system in Brazil that is a little bit different from the United States. The judge and the prosecution, they're not supposed to talk. They're not supposed to build any plans to make someone, to put someone in jail. They're not supposed to do any of that. And sure, they were talking and planning and scheming to get proofs put Lula in jail. And he was a favorite to win the election in 2018. He on all the surveys, he Lula was ahead of Bolsonaro, and he was he had great chances of winning Lula despite of all the accusations, because he did a nice administration on his 8 years.
He had been president, previously
in the 2000s.
Yeah. And we had, so and he we was have. I was going to say
the car wash scandal was a legitimate scandal, but it just really didn't involve him, is what you're.
It was a legitimate scandal. We had a lot of problems. We had effects of corruption inside the government, but the operation was got political. They got political. The operation transformed into a tool of political persecution, and Lula was got in jail with that, with a very weak proofs with very weak proofs that on his process. And later on, we found out that the Judge Moro, which is now a senator,
of course. Yeah.
Which is now a senator, was partial. And he worked from the beginning to had Lula guilty and imprisoned. Wow. And he was imprisoned, and Bolsonaro won the election. And Bolsonaro, I think that we, as I said, we hung by a thread, because Bolsonaro embraced a fascist politician, but he is very, very, very strong in Brazil, and it's scary and worrying, because the last election showed that these values and these fascist thoughts are very much alive here in Brazil, and the threat is not dead because Bolsonaro lost.
Yeah.
On the contrary, I think they're just waiting for the next fascist to come. And so,
okay. Well, I want to talk about that in just a minute, but we got to take a break right now.
Teaser.
Yes, that's perfect, because that's the next thing I want to talk about. Kaplan, we're part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. One thing I forgot to do early, I think, was did we give a shout out to Tug or not for going up?
No, we did not give a proper shout out to Tug.
Listen, Tug came in, great listener, a great supporter, has just raised his membership level from $10 to $15 a month. Shout out to you, Tug. Everybody be more like Tug on planet.
Let's send him a better version of the TV show then. He gets a better version.
Oh, he'll get a longer cut.
Longer cut, exactly.
There we go. We have old versions, although I don't know. We want to give people the best version. Cap, we're part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. Next week, we're doing a roundtable with you and me, plus Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy from the Majoring in Everything podcast. The Majoring in Everything podcast. I'll say that again. And Andrew Heaton, Professor Andrew Heaton, from the Political Orphanage podcast. All four of us, we make up the three shows, World's Smartest Podcast Network.com, to get all of their shows and ours. And now, Kaplan, a word from your local sponsor. All right, we are back.
Thank you, local sponsors.
There we go. Thank you very much. All right, Victor. Let's see. Because the one big difference, I guess, between Bolsonaro and Trump is the way they went out. I don't know if it's different, but I know that Trump.
Because didn't he steal the idea of the election? Yeah.
Trump denied the election results for the entire time, and then pretty much encouraged vocally at the spot of the insurrection, said everybody walk down the street and go run into that building. And Bolsonaro just disappeared for 3 months and popped up 3 months later in West Palm Beach, Florida, or somewhere.
Publix in West Palm Beach.
Possibly at Trump's Mar-a-Lago. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, they did leave differently. Bolsonaro did not. Did he deny the results? Did he say this was fake and rigged and all that stuff? Or he just kind of disappeared?
Yes.
He did.
Bolsonaro have a Trump playbook.
Yeah, he stole the playbook. It's running the same offense.
He stole the playbook. But here in Brazil, we have some differences because the voting system is different. You guys have like an analogical voting system that you guys have the little papers that you go there.
You could do a recount here.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, the hanging.
There's no recount in Brazil, right?
No. Here in Brazil, we have an electronic voting system, because the most important thing that we can say about a voting system is that doesn't matter really the style of the voting system. Just what holds the voting system together of a country is the level of confidence that the electors have on that system. For example, in Japan, they accept they vote on papers and they accept the voting on pencil. Yep. And the voting they have a very low rate of corruption on that system, and the people, the electors, trust in that system. And okay, that's perfectly fine. They vote, their voting systems works great. Here in Brazil, we have a history of corruption in the voting system. And then we came up with that system, that electronic system that solved the problem.
Great.
We reached a very high confidence levels on our electors. Is that right? Electors in English?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Right. Electors.
Great.
And we reached that high level of confidence and trust on our system. And it's even a matter of pride for us here in Brazil. But Bolsonaro came and started to argue that system is corrupt and that system is not trustworthy. And we have to get back to the old-fashioned model with little papers. And that's a curiosity. Bolsonaro is based, he lives literally on the region that make we change the whole system. Because his region...
favorite in the past.
His region is like... we change everything because his region was so corrupt. His region adulterated a lot of votes in the past, and they were a real problem. And he was trying to say that the little printed
the ballot
was a better system. And we know that here in Brazil it doesn't work for us because we have traffic of the drug traffics. The drug traffic that can change the drug dealers that can change act to change the votes. We have the militia that can act to change the result of the elections with an old system because they have ways to persecute people that don't vote for their candidate.
Really? Do they intimidate them at the voting booth and stuff?
Yes, they intimidate them. And Bolsonaro tried to make like a receipt for the vote.
Yeah.
As if you were down there and you just voted for some candidate and the ballot printed you a receipt and you took home to prove, that was his allegation, to prove that your vote are in synchrony with the vote that was computed in the ballot. Yeah.
Got it. And so they have, so you said drug dealers and gangs.
How do they influence?
They'll wait at the voting booth?
No, they don't do that anymore because of the system, because we changed the system when we... Yes, they used to, especially the militia. Militia was called the police, the corrupt police that work as a militia. They try to control certain parts of the territory. And Bolsonaro lives in an area of militia. He lives there in Rio de Janeiro.
So he had their support.
That little receipt that Bolsonaro wanted in Brazil could be used for the militia to come to some person and say, who you voted for?
Oh,
let me see.
For me.
Yeah. So that would intimidate you. So
yeah. The election wasn't that close, right? It was like 51-49.
Yeah, so it was like, 2 million vote difference.
It's close, but not.
It's
2 million
nothing.
Votes. You can't fake 2 million votes.
Yeah. No, it's perfectly fine that it's not. We all knew that was going to be close. We all knew because that narrative that Lula was going to close down churches, Lula was going to implement communism, Lula was going to... That's ridiculous. But a lot of people believed in that. They were afraid. They were afraid of the communism. They don't even explain what communism is and how he was going to do that. And it was just like... an ethereal menace that was
floating
in the air. It's not concrete things, and the people just got scared.
I think everyone knows if you say the word communism, then you think of Cuba, and that's bad. Everyone's getting killed and put in prison, and nobody wants that. And so in the United States too. So people just go, well, I don't want that. So
yeah. Lula had been president before too, which is, and he didn't turn the country communist then. He had a chance. So
he had a good chance.
Yes. Yeah. And
strange it works.
And then they just don't want the conservatives here in Brazil. They just don't want some advances, in my opinion. They don't want to talk about abortion. They don't want to talk about racial equality. They don't want to talk about any of that. Like the same-sex marriage, for example. The Supreme Court here in Brazil had to legalize the same-sex marriage because the representatives never talked about it. Yeah. And it was and they were saying that Lula was going to make all those things happen. You know, he would legalize abortion, he would destroy the traditional family and the traditional values and all that. Yada yada.
I read an interesting theory that that because there's this populism on the I guess the left, mostly on the right, but the far right, but also some on the left is happening worldwide now much more. It's happening. It feels like at a height right now in a lot of countries around the world that there's this extreme side populism. Whereas like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, there was this move almost to the middle. It seemed like, and they were saying the theory I had read was that a big start of that was the 2008 financial crisis because it created economic disparity. You had the little bit of rich and mostly a lot of poor people, way more poor people than you had 10 years earlier. And so people were then looking for someone to blame and also some way to fix that disparity.
And no one went to jail for that anywhere.
And it became, and the people who were in charge most of the world during 2008 were kind of centrist, like middle people saying, hey, we got to get along with the rest of the world. We got to have free trade and all that kind of stuff. So it became to blame that. Do you think that was super interesting to me because I never heard it. Do you think that's could also apply to Brazil?
Not so much. I don't think so. Because here in Brazil, in the 2008 crisis, Brazil is the second largest consumer market in the West, just second to United States.
Yep.
And we were in the Lula administration on that time. And here in Brazil, we felt some effects, but was not a crisis that affect us in a strong way. It was not, but the political Congress, but on the administration of Dilma Rousseff, that was the successor of Lula. She was the president that suffered the coup here in Brazil in 2016. She was not popular. She made some mistakes economically, but the car wash operation was starting to being a thorn on the side of a lot of representatives and a lot of the members of the Congress, because they were actually very much involved in corruption. And President Dilma was a Democrat. She respected the autonomy of the police to investigate and to punish everyone who deserved to be punished. And it was a movement. There was a movement of the representatives, the media owners here in Brazil, the media here in Brazil are very much owned by people that are politics. So there is media tends to work side by side with politics here in Brazil. And it was a movement that was played by a lot of players and a lot of actors to put Dilma down. It was a major political issue for me. Our democracy was destroyed majorly by political reasons. And we had some say, I don't know for sure, but some say that the United States Department of State was involved as well, because we know that the Obama administration was spying on Dilma through her
whole... On behalf of my brother, I'll say no comment.
Was your brother in Brazil at the time? When was he?
He was in the State Department. My brother's in the State Department. When was he in Brazil? He was... No, he was never in Brazil, but he was the desk officer for Brazil in the United
States. Plausible deniability for him as well, huh?
In Washington, D.C. He was... What years was that? That might have been. I don't know if it lined up exactly. Yeah. But they...
Babyface.
He was either for the desk officer for Brazil or Serbia at the time, because I know he did that around 2016 to 2020, but no comment. Okay. I think.
Okay.
Good people on both sides.
Good people on both. Listen, yeah. You know, got to break a few eggs to make an omelet sometimes.
So it was a political crisis in my opinion. It was not, although I must say that the economic differences are increasing in Brazil. Mm. We have these problems. We have this APP problems, though, like on Uber and iFood, and some of these problems that are deteriorating the labor relations in Brazil, you know, like destroying a little bit of that relations and put people in some bad situations here in Brazil.
What do you mean? So there's an app problem? Like how do the apps destroy freelance? How does like Uber?
Okay. Here in Brazil, we used to have some labor laws here in Brazil that changed on behalf of these apps, you know, to now the labor relations are not so regulated as it was some years ago. So this is a problem for some workers. This is a problem because the wages went down. People start to have a lower quality of life because of this. And it's, the concentration of the wealth in Brazil is very much bigger than it was some years ago.
Yeah.
And this is a source of discontentment for the people.
Do you mean that, for example, like there used to be a taxi union that would protect the rights of the taxi drivers, and then when Uber came in, there's no one protecting the rights?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's an issue all around.
That's it.
Yeah. And that exists with hotels, with Airbnb, and like everything, anything that's gone app.
All these.
Yes. And we had a deindustrialization of the country. We lost a lot of industries, like Ford left Brazil like 1 or 2 years ago, went to Argentina, and we had a lot of some other industries that just left Brazil. And that's a problem too, because the unemployment rates went to the roof. And we had some social, political and social factors then. Too.
So what was Lula's response to this storming of the Capitol, and what are his plans? How's he going to like put all this back together?
Yeah, well, Lula's response was surprisingly quick, in my opinion, because we are used to see the state here in Brazil took forever to take some attitude to move forward on some issues. And on the very same day, he answered by declaring federal intervention on the federal district, because the federal district here in Brazil has a separate government. You know what I mean? It was like something
similar
like
to America. Washington, D.C. has its own
governor.
It's like, although I guess the president, it's actually, no, it's opposite, actually.
Has a
in America,
mayor.
Washington, D.C.'s. Yeah, it's like has its mayor, but then like the government's in charge of it, the federal government. But there, it's like localized, right? Like the federal government doesn't have the power. Like they have their own budget.
Okay, yeah. Here in Brazil, the federal district has its own governor. And the governor has the police of that federal district. And now Lula, on the very, very same day, he declared federal intervention on the federal district. And he put the governor down. The governor was taken down for 90 days, I think. And the public security is now in full power of Lula. Lula owns the the security.
The governor just in a timeout. He like has no power
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
It's like he's like you're suspended, but you didn't. Does he get paid still, or is he just like?
I don't know about that. I don't know exactly how.
It is works. There any worry that Lula will just extend that and never give the power back?
I think it's going to happen because I don't think it's not going to, it's not that he's not giving the power back, but the vice governor are going to step in.
Okay.
I think that guy are going to be in jail real soon because
they ignored the issue. Like they basically let this happen kind of thing. Like,
the suspicion is that the governor let this happen on purpose. Yeah. He just closed his eyes on purpose.
And there were some security chiefs they fired as well, right? Or is that
yeah, okay? This guy is important. Glad that you brought this up because this guy, Anderson Torres, that is the secretary of security of the federal district. He was, as I said, he was the former minister of justice of Bolsonaro. Right. He, when the Bolsonaro administration came to an end, he came the secretary of security of the federal district. Got it?
Yep.
Okay. So now he and the governor are suspected that they closed their eyes on purpose and let the coup be tried. But, and now, like two days ago, the police asked for the actually Alexandre de Moraes, that is a judge of the Supreme Court, asked the prison of Anderson Torres, that is this guy that secretary of security, which was in Florida with Bolsonaro. He asked his prison and they did a search in his house here in Brazil while he was in America. And they found a draft of a document that was declaring defense state here in Brazil to make Bolsonaro win the election. They
had a plan.
They had a plan. Right. They had a plan of coup, like traditional coup.
That's what I'm wondering this whole time, was the plan of these protesters to just take over and like...
Yeah, what was the goal? Because they're not going in there to kill anybody because there's no one in there.
There's nobody there.
What are they
plan?
Think?
The plan, as I see, a few weeks ago, the police found a plan to explode a truck in Brasilia to hurt a lot of people.
We're terrorists, for real.
Yeah, home terrorism. That's a lot of hard work to say in English for a Portuguese speaker. The plan was to explode a tank, one of those tanks that are full of gasoline, you know?
Yeah.
To explode a tank full of gasoline in the Brazilian airport. There was going to be a lot of deaths.
Jeez.
For sure. And the plan was to create chaos. And
the military takes over because there's chaos.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah. And the elections are suspended. Bolsonaro declares the suspicion of the election and he never...
So they really want a dictator, basically. It's like so weird to me. People who choose, we want a dictatorship.
I take the offer back. I don't think we want him in the third district of New York.
I told you so.
I mean, Long Island. Who cares?
That's true. Take over Long Island. Who cares about Long Island? Actually, bomb the Hamptons. That'd be all right with me.
Yeah, George Santos wouldn't do that. He's much more peaceful. He's about love.
All these
lies
are
benign. Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah. Ed's,
but they didn't accomplish any of this. They're big failures, huh? They just...
They didn't...
They couldn't blow anything up.
No.
But you think that Bolsonaroismo can exist and grow without him? And you think it will grow?
Or will he come back?
That's the million-dollar question. I don't know. I think everything will depend on how the response is going to be. Because besides of Bolsonaro, besides all this, we have a bigger problem, in my opinion, that is the fake news machine. Mm. The fake news machine, I think, is in Brazil, I think, is even bigger than the American fake news machine. Because in a word...
New York Times here is very fake.
Nothing's bigger than Americans. Like, I take offense. We have a better fake news machine.
Okay.
The best in the world.
We're the best at everything.
People are saying... Ours is the best.
This podcast results.
I know that here in Brazil we have this problem because I think you guys can help me on that, because here in the United States, most of the fake news are going through Facebook, right?
Yes.
Oh, the things that people share. Yeah. Twitter, like, to a lesser extent.
That's why it's boomer related, because the only people still left on Facebook are baby boomers. And then they see all this, these like fake videos, and they believe them for some reason.
Okay. Here in Brazil, we have Facebook. We have WhatsApp. That is the application for chatting.
That boomers don't use WhatsApp. No way.
Definitely.
I'm impressed with Brazil, your boomers.
Here in Brazil, they do. Wow. They do. The fake news travels via Facebook, WhatsApp, Telegram.
Yeah, boomers, no. Only people having affairs use Telegram in America.
People cheating on their wives.
So here in Brazil, and we have an additional problem that here in Brazil, like 46% of the people online here in Brazil uses WhatsApp as the news source.
How do you get news on WhatsApp? I don't even know how to do that.
Fake news.
Just people sharing. People sharing. Yeah.
Sharing. Oh, okay. The people are sharing fake news via.
Do you have QAnon? WhatsApp. Do you have Q there?
Not exactly the QAnon, but some Brazilian version.
Because I didn't see a shaman at your. I did not see a shaman at this insurrection, and I think that's what you guys were missing.
Oh, we had this guy, the Q shaman.
Yeah, the guy like
all dressed up. Yeah. I mean, in America. So we're actually getting hit on both sides, because boomers get their news from Facebook, but then young kids get their news from TikTok, and that's controlled by China. So it's like the only people left, it's like the millennials are standing in the middle being like, everybody relax.
Gen Z and older millennials might be the only people who
the only people actually getting real news.
Yeah.
Yeah. People who listen to this podcast, them too.
Here in Brazil, for me, one of the biggest problems on that issue is that the traditional media sources, the news sources, have this paywall thing, and that you have to pay to see real news.
Right. So it's better to get fake news for free than pay for real news. That's what I always say.
That's pretty logical.
I don't pay for any old paywall. So yeah, exactly. I'd rather read something fake, you know, at least I read something today.
And that lights up a debate that we have to think. Information is a product or a right? It's the thing that we have to.
Yeah. Right.
But the problem is you got to pay the people who write it. So
exactly. The journalist needs to make a living. So it's like hard.
They really screwed that up early on, the newspaper industry. So
they did.
Oh man.
I don't know. Well, what about you?
Speaking of real news.
I'm so curious. So you do stand up in Portuguese. Do you tour, like when you go on the road, or Brazilian comedians in general, are you going to Portugal and then like to Brazil and Portugal to do stand up, or how does that work?
That movement to Portugal has just started to happen like a few years ago. It's a little thing right now, but it's growing. It's growing really fast. And I think that soon enough, we are going to have a interchange of comedians back and forth here in Brazil and Portugal.
And Macau. You can go to Macau too.
Yeah.
It's random.
You can go to Macau. You can go to India, because Goa.
You're like,
a
if Portugal would have colonized more places, I'd have more places to tour.
I know. I can hook you up. I got a show in Macau. The MGM Casino in Macau, I've performed at a couple times. I can get
you in. That's amazing. Please. That would be amazing. And then
Jim just got into the most random places.
Yeah.
He does around the world.
Although now you can only spend $100 a person on alcohol, free alcohol as a comedian, because Ruben Paul and I just drank the place dry one night. And so they put it was unlimited drinks if you were performing there. And then,
that was a huge error.
That was a mess.
Turner, I saw on Instagram that your wife is Chinese, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
this in Brazil, it's enough to people build a conspiracy theory. And about me.
What would be the conspiracy?
Something like, this guy is talking to another guy that is married with a Chinese.
Oh, also my brother's in the State Department. So I'm getting
Jesus. Yeah, this is real. This
both
is
deep, sides.
A lot of deep
and
state stuff.
And
going on
they're
here.
All communists.
Oh, you're a communist. You're right.
That's true. Well,
we need to And yeah, and I'm a globalist though, because I'm a Jew. So yeah, put it together.
Kaplan's Jewish. It's even worse.
Create a whole world Zionist Chinese communist conspiracy here.
The Chinese and the Jews have their meetings on Christmas.
Oh my God, they have the whole package.
Yeah, got it all.
Well, there goes your career. So yeah, you know, say goodbye to your career. So that's, and then tell us about this the show. I want to hear more about that.
Yeah.
And how do you say it in Portuguese? I translated it to home news, but
Jornal de Casa. Jornal de Casa. It was an idea that was turned down by all networks here in Brazil. I tried to offer to them all, but they all said no. And then the pandemic hit, and I lost all my shows. All my shows that was scheduled like went down, and I was okay. Or I do something with I have here in my home, or I'll just get crazy because this thing is going to be horrific. And because I'm a very negative person, and I thought zombie apocalypse. I was thinking way worse than it was.
Yeah. And this is early 2020 and you're, we all thought that.
And I was thinking about that, and I just, okay, the news are going to be awful, and the people are about to get crazy, and maybe they can use some comical relief on the news. And I started a little show here in my house where I joke on the news. And that was not something that always bothered me on that genre, is that sometimes the people try to make joke with that unusual news, you know, something like, oh, a guy have 3 arms in India, and then
that's what we used to do. Yeah
And then we
got rid
missing
of that.
That we could have jokes on real news, you know, like that's and especially boring news like economics and politics. And
that's our show. That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah,
we got smarter.
And then I started to do that, and it was really funny because I didn't know how good was going to be to me, because I lost like 2/3 of the audience, but the engagement was really better. Like the 1/3 that stayed got engaged deeply, and the shows were starting to get more people, and it was a lot of people used to watch the regular stand-up videos that I used to do on the channel, but they were not going to the show, the shows. Yeah. And with the Jornal de Casa, they started to go to the stand-up that it was a second product.
You found your audience.
Yes. I found that quality is way better than quantity. So,
and also focus. Yeah. Quality is way better than quantity, and focusing what you're talking about. Right.
Yeah.
So that the audience knows every week or every day, whatever it is, I'm going to be hearing about this, and this is what I want to hear about, as opposed to just like, I'm going to be hearing jokes, but who knows?
That's awesome. And here in Brazil, the comics had this thought that the comedian was not supposed to take sides, that we are not. I don't know how it is in America, that you, I don't know if you guys have this people that say
it used to be more that way in the old days, right?
Yeah. If you ask Jay Leno or Jerry Seinfeld,
Johnny Carson,
they don't take sides. But now it's the quickest way to a career is to take a side. And then, cause you have, you'll have a built-in
audience,
one side or the other, you know?
Yeah. And here in Brazil, I just got tired of that. And I was thinking that we can take sides and we can be funny taking sides. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can do this. You can say, you speak your truth to the people and find your audience. And I was doing that, and was the best thing that I ever did.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, yeah, you're huge. I mean, you have 130,000 followers on Instagram. I don't know what TikTok's like, but I'm sure it's good. And
no, it's not that good. I'm not that good on TikTok, but that's my fault because I have.
Well, speak to the guy with the Chinese wife, and he'll make you big on TikTok.
No, they hate me on TikTok. I can't get anything out on TikTok, so I'm about to give up on TikTok. Plus, my brother tells me to delete it like every day, because
the State Department. Yeah, it's, he's going to be. they're going to have all your information. Your brother's captured.
I'm pretty sure they already have our information. They do.
I lived there. I've seen a file on me that was, I haven't seen it. My friends have seen it. My Chinese friends represented a file on me and asked what else they knew.
He's in the government.
I was running a comedy show in downtown Suzhou where I was living, and we were packing it every week. We had like 150 people showing up monthly, and a rival bar owner, like a different bar on the same street, went to the government and told them that my show was actually a meeting for an anti-communist organization. Mm. And so I got turned in as a capitalist pig. And they did this big investigation into me, and they called in all these Chinese people I knew were just getting called in to the police station and asked about me. And they got shown a big file they had on me. So they know everything about me already.
God.
So
we got to get that file for our pitch meetings for the TV show.
Yeah.
Really.
Luckily, it proved that I'm not I don't have an anti-communist organization that I've started.
All Turner's friends on a little game show called How Capitalists Are.
Capitalist Pig. All right. That would be a great name for a show, actually. Yeah. Capitalist Pig.
Capitalist Pig. There you go.
That's my Edinburgh show. That's it. Victor, thank you so much for doing the podcast, man. Everybody can find you. What's your website, or what's the best place to find you?
The best place to find me is on the social media. I have at Victor Camejo, Camejo. That is my name. All my social networks are the same.
Awesome.
I don't know how you call that little A with the little ball in English.
Okay. We would say at Victor Camejo.
Yeah. Okay.
And go to YouTube to find all the videos and...
Yes,
Camejo. That's it. That's the podcast. Kaplan, what should we do?
I'm inspired by his quality over quantity thing, by the way. And that's why I've only done 3 stand-up sets in my life. I'm going to stick to it. And in the meantime, I'm going to get 3 lost.
3 is the magic number. 3 is
the magic number. Before we're diluting it. Get lost.
Get lost.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.